Tuesday, November 1st, and this is Geek Nights with Brim and Scott. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
All right. So, today I stayed home sick.
Yeah, I noticed, because I woke up and I didn't notice that you were home. I was just up and I was doing my thing. And I
figured you wouldn't notice I was home because you don't go in my room. And then you saw my car outside, right?
Well, I walked out and your car was there, and for a second I thought, did he ride his bike? And then I realized, no, he's a lazy fuck. He won't ride his bike. So I walk in, I walk upstairs, and you're in bed. And I assumed you just overslept, or you didn't set an alarm, or you died.
No, what happened is I woke up, 2:30 a.m.
Oh, 2:30.
And my stomach was on fire.
On fire?
On fire. Well, basically what happened is I woke up, my stomach hurt, and I was like, oh, great, I'm going to have a bad stomach day. Then I looked at the clock, and I saw it was 2:30, and I was like, my stomach hurt bad enough to wake me up. So after I aroused, I went to the, well, not aroused, sexually aroused, the other way.
Yeah. Ooh.
I went to the bathroom and I tried to get out some diarrhea and it didn't want to come out. So I was like, well, this is great. It hurts. So I went back to bed.
So you think maybe it could have been the lasagna you had at the diner last night?
I'm betting it was, but let me finish the story here. This gets weirder.
Great.
So I lay in bed after pooping out like the tiniest poop, not even diarrhea or anything, and it the fire doubles.
This doesn't end in something disgusting, does it?
It's not that disgusting.
This doesn't involve your bed, does it?
I already said the word diarrhea. It doesn't get more disgusting than that.
It could be like diarrhea that doesn't go into a toilet.
No, it goes into a toilet.
All of it. Sure.
I'm sure.
Okay.
So I sit on the toilet, and finally the diarrhea comes, and I get some relief, right? You know, I'm just kind of sitting there, sweating, you know, a little chilly, you know. Stomach hurts, some gas moves around, you know, that sort of thing. Then it starts to hurt worse, you know, it's building up some worseness. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to bargle.
You haven't bargled in a long time.
I haven't bargled. I got a streak better than Seinfeld in my bargling.
Ah, you almost lost it.
So I get down onto the. Eventually, I decide. All right, I just want relief. This hurts real bad. I'm gonna bargle. Even though I wasn't that nauseous, I just.
Let me guess. You couldn't.
I got down on the floor, naked, on my knees in front of the toilet.
Thank the gods I didn't wake up and go take a pee in the middle of the night.
I heard you rustling, and I was like, "Damn, he sleeps light."
I wasn't awake. You realize. You've seen my bed. My bed turns into just a twisted mass of sheets every night.
Yeah, but you do sleep real light. I mean, I came in to, like, just change your clock, and you woke up.
I sleep real heavily, actually. But it's like when I'm asleep, and if there's something going on around me, I'll become aware of it, but I'm still asleep. Like, in my dream. And I can choose, I should wake up because someone's about to do something to me, or... Whatever.
I wasn't going to do anything. I was changing your clock correctly.
See, you realize
I
that
wanted, I was
one,
imagining.
I have a nightingale floor, like the samurai of old.
Oh, yeah.
And as you walk into my room, it goes creak,
very
creak,
slightly.
Creak, creak.
It's not that loud.
It's real loud.
It's not as loud
asleep.
As my house. My house is like.
But I don't sleep lightly. I slept through a house exploding. An entire house.
All right. Anyway,
I'll tell that story someday.
So I'm on the floor, my hands and knees, trying to bargle, and not getting anything.
Did you stick your finger down your throat?
No, I don't do that.
Why not? It would have worked.
Because I couldn't bring myself to do that. You know, I tried to push a little bit, and once I got some coughing, and it felt like the coughing was going to bring something out of the esophagus, but no, I got some mucus, like a speck.
Is the story going anywhere?
It does go somewhere. So I'm sitting on the floor in the bathroom, not getting anywhere, right, and not feeling good.
Uh-huh.
So the next thing I did was I was getting a little tired.
Did you fall asleep naked on your knees in the bathroom?
No. I did. I took a rest. I laid down on the bathroom floor, on the cold bathroom floor naked. Now wait.
That's like right next to, I could have just walked out.
No, the door was closed.
I probably would have just opened it.
Yeah, all right. But
because I would have
I wasn't sleeping. I was resting. I was conscious.
But imagine my consternation if I were to wake up. And I walked into the bathroom, naked myself, mind you, and I see you already in the bathroom, naked, and looks like you're asleep on the bathroom floor.
Hey, I might have had boxers on, I don't remember.
I'm not sure what I would have done.
Anyway, as soon as I laid down on that floor, I started feeling better.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why my bed didn't feel good, but bathroom floor felt great.
Sure you didn't take some Percocet?
I don't take the drugs.
Little Percodan?
No, nothing.
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 So then after I feel a little better, I got to do a little more diarrhea. I get up, do a little diarrhea, and I'm feeling pretty good. Just, I'm still all, but I'm feeling better than stomach on fire. The fire was put out, quenched.
Once again, is this going anywhere?
Yeah. So I took a shower, and then I went into my room, and it was 3:30. And I was like, damn, I spent an hour in there.
Well, you spent a good 6 minutes talking about this. So.
Yeah. And then I used my little BlackBerry to email the boss, turn off the alarm, went to sleep, woke up, and I was at home today.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good.
Except story for didn't the, go anywhere.
Except for the not eat. I was sleeping on the floor in the
yeah,
bathroom.
But then I asked you if the story was going anywhere, and you said, yeah, it's going somewhere.
Well,
after.
That was the climax. You need a little rundown afterwards.
You need a little rundown.
Just climax the end?
I mean, you had a little rundown, but...
There you go.
Yeah. So the Senate had a crazy thing today, but it wasn't as crazy as everyone made it out to be.
See, I didn't think it was that crazy.
Well, I wasn't sure because I was at work and I was about to leave. And
you exaggerate many things.
Nah, because I checked the FARC before I left work, just in case, maybe something happened. I always check FARC. And FARC has a story, newsflash, mind you, and there's not even a link associated with it. It's such breaking news. And the actual FARC headline was, Democratic Minority Leader Harry Reid calls private closed-door session in Senate to scrutinize pre-Iraq war intelligence. And I thought, shits, something's going down. And actually, something did go down.
But it's not crazy exciting. It's just, oh, they had a closed-door meeting. Woo.
Well, it is fairly exciting because it's the beginning of a congressional committee to look into certain things that happened during the Iraq War.
A congressional committee that will find nothing exciting.
No, because the congressional
that everyone
committee
will ignore.
Is three Democrats and three Republicans.
Yeah, okay, 9/11 Commission found all this bad stuff, and meanwhile everyone was like, oh, look what they found, and then that was it. No one did anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to be optimistic here. Apparently you're a pessimist.
Look who's talking.
What? I really assumed that Fitzgerald was going to get some people, and he got someone, and he's still getting people.
Yeah, we'll see. They can indict people if, like a witness during the trial says something,
A lot of people think that was the strategy, that he got the one guy so he can get other people.
Yeah, I mean, if, you kill someone who, was robbing your store or something, and during your testimony you say, this guy was robbing my store, well, they just indict him right there. That's how
but
it works.
The FARC threat on this pretty much just turned into a flame war.
Great.
Oh, really?
Really.
Yeah, really.
So, ice hockey.
Yeah, I'm really liking the fact that hockey's back.
Yeah, hockey.
Hockey is very much a geek sport in that traditionally geeks seem to like the sport. I mean, MIT didn't have a good hockey team, but the fans were real into it and real nerdly. RIT, very big geek school, very big.
I think it's because all the geek schools are up in the cold areas. You don't see the geeks at
Wait a minute. Caltech?
You don't see the geeks at Caltech or Georgia Tech like in the ice hockey.
Yeah, they don't have the ice. Well, they do have the ice hockey, just not so much. Not so good.
It's the cold schools. I'm telling you, it's a northerner thing. You know, the Messier line?
Nah. Well, also, I think it is a very good game in terms of something that you can watch and appreciate on multiple levels.
Yeah, as opposed to
basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that sounds so racist because basketball is so black and hockey so white, but it's...
Basketball is a good sport. The NBA is not basketball. That is how I say it.
Yeah, but that still sounds racist to those people.
Yeah, I like women's basketball a lot.
Yeah. I'm not saying it is racist because I'm totally on the side that it's not, but a lot of people say those kind of things.
I do have to point out that my Red Wings are really taking advantage of these new rules, and they're leading the league far and away, and no one's even close
to them. They played a bunch of crap teams.
Ah, no, they played good teams.
Not so much. And they're in the easier division.
Actually, they're in one of the hardest divisions.
Nah. The only other team in there. It's so weird because all the teams that were no good are now good. Like the Nashville Predators, they're from Nashville. They don't have cheerleaders at their hockey. That's how much they don't know about hockey. They're doing good. And the New York Rangers haven't done good since 94 when they won.
They're not doing good at all.
They're doing great,
What? No, they're doing terribly.
No, they're not.
We'll talk about something else, but I'll pull up the NHL standings and we can talk about that.
All right. The Rangers are actually doing really good. They're in first place.
No, the Red Wings are.
That's the other part of hockey.
You realize that it's divisional and it's also it's broken up in two tiers now.
It's always been broken up that
but
way.
But now they're doing it strictly. There's fewer games now intercross division. That's why the Red Wings are only playing the Rangers once.
Yeah, that's why the Red Wings are playing the easy teams and the Rangers are playing
anyway,
the hard
what
teams.
Other news do you got? I'll show you the Rangers standings.
Yeah, they're doing really well. There was 10 news stories about the Revolution today, and all of them were conflicting.
Uh-huh.
So everyone's like, oh, it's coming out in June or October or May or April or December.
Did any of these people cite a source?
Yeah, they all cited different sources. There was like one thing from Iwata and a thing from Miyamoto today, and it was all confusing and no one could be final, so I just kind of ignored all of it, and I'll read the final deal tomorrow.
Ah, I'm still looking forward to it.
Yeah, gonna buy it when it comes out.
Yeah, and I'm gonna use yours. I'll buy a controller for it.
Better. I think they're gonna be expensive. They'll probably be like $40.
Yeah, that's fine. I own my one GameCube controller. I'll own my one Revolution controller. I own my one PlayStation 1 DualShock controller.
I gotta get one of those. Those are hard to find.
Not really. You just only looked in one store.
A store which had a zillion regular PlayStation 1 controllers, but no PlayStation 1 DualShock controllers. I think PlayStation 2 controllers might work, I just don't know.
Well, that's all you.
Yeah. So I saw you were looking at the Rangers standings, did you?
Yeah,
not
and,
like what
and
you
the Rangers are 5-5.
Not
they've
five
won five
and, five
and they've lost five.
That's why it says New York Rangers 6-4.
No. That doesn't count. All that counts is within the division, and in the division they're 5-5.
Where does it say that? It says 5-4 and
no,
one.
No, 5-4-1. One is overtime loss.
It doesn't matter. They're 6-4. They have 13 points.
No,
they're in first place.
No, they have 15 points.
Even better.
The Red Wings have 22 points.
The Red Wings are in the other half of hockey.
Montreal has 17. Carolina has 17. Vancouver has
18. Those are all in the other half of hockey in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and you know what? The Western Conference traditionally tends to win.
Nah, not so much.
Yeah. Nah. Look at the last 50 years of the Stanley Cup.
I do not see a Stanley Cup in your future.
You know what? I'll bet you $50 the Red Wings win the Stanley Cup versus whatever team you say will win it. And if neither one wins it, we'll keep the pops.
Not the Red Wings.
So that's a stupid... Fine, then I get at least 10-1 odds.
No. Oh, so you're saying that they don't have a good chance.
No, I'm saying that while I'm sure they have a good chance, if you're going to take such a blanket bet...
I'm just saying the Red Wings are not going to win.
I think they are going to win.
I say it's way early in the season. They're not really that good, and they haven't played any good teams. And in the playoffs, when they're forced to play real teams, then they're not going to win.
You realize they are a real good hockey team, and every year they do really, really well.
And you got,
In fact, they're tied with the Jersey Devils for the best teams in the last 10 years.
You're just biased. You're not actually. You haven't even watched a hockey game this season. You don't know anything about it. You just look at those numbers, and you're a Red Wings fan, and you go, woo, they're going to win. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Now, I want to read about the games. Two, my dad calls me after every game and tells me what happened.
Because your dad's a hockey expert.
My dad's a hockey nut.
He's not a hockey expert.
You realize I grew up in Hockey Town. I grew up in Detroit. My family is probably more fanatical about hockey than I am about anime, board games, hockey, geekery, and computers combined.
We're fanatical about hockey, but I still contend you are not hockey experts.
I don't know. My mom, actually.
Your analysis of hockey is not something
well, you realize
to go
it's
by.
Not my analysis. It's based on what I hear from other people.
Yeah, so, you know. Just
We'll see. I think the Red Wings got a good chance.
Nah. So, Sony... The new Sony record company, their DRM CDs.
The rootkit?
They just install a rootkit on you so that you can't remove the DRM software.
Great. See, I'd care, but one, I don't.
Yep.
Because the last CD I bought was Metallica and Justice for All.
Yep. But the real issue here is that I want to, while I would never buy CD.
You want to get the rootkit?
Or use Windows. I want to have them go to jail for hacking.
But it's not hacking, because you bought the CD, and it warns you that it installs copy protection.
Yeah, but it's kind of like...
And I heard, but I can't verify, that the CD itself doesn't actually have the CD logo that says it's a fully compliant
CD.
Oh,
none of those CDs have the CD logo from Philips.
Technically, nothing illegal was done.
It doesn't say it's going to install a rootkit. I mean, if you come and if I come to your house and I say I'm going to work on your computer...
It basically says it's going to, but it says it in legalese. And
I don't think it says
You can't get them. They've pretty much got it gold. The only thing you can do is either not buy their product or pirate their product.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's going to... I think they're definitely going to be in trouble over this. And I don't think they will be
unless a third party exploits this rootkit.
People are going to get them. It's not going to fly.
I don't think anyone cares except us and our fellow geeks.
No, plenty of people care.
No, they don't, because they don't even know. Most people who have a Windows computer don't even know that the spyware they already have is causing their problems.
Yeah, but you realize that other nerdy things where only nerds care, like Broadcast Flag, we beat back ferociously.
Actually, I'm very pro-Broadcast Flag.
Well, you know, you can be pro or against any of these things, because if you're pro, you say good, it'll hurt everyone, and then they'll wake up.
Yes.
Or no, because then that's the right way.
I used to be very, very on the side of good, but now I'm on the side of evil, because I want people to get their bad medicine and realize they need to change.
Just keep it the good way. If we start letting them get the bad way, we might turn out that it doesn't work and the people still don't do anything about it. And then we're stuck in this crap.
That's fine, because that makes us... The more people let themselves be locked down in their media, their push technology, the more people like us have power over those people because we exist outside of that Mackinac... I couldn't come up with a funny word.
Yeah, but then it'll be easier to find out who we are and get us.
Get us for what?
You know, it'll turn into a 1984. It'll be screwed.
We're the only ones who'd be smart enough to run a 1984.
No, you don't have to be smart to run a 1984.
The
1984 runs itself.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends on the 1984. I mean, is it a Brazil? Is it
the
Orwellian?
Bureaucracy, it just does it everything Soviets? On its own, and the people are just cogs in the machine. You don't need anyone to run the machine.
Yeah, but
it could be
like a Harrison Bergeron 1984, where there's smart people who run it because they're the only ones who know how
to
keep
it going.
But if
smart people are running it, then it doesn't matter.
Because they're smart, but they're also evil. Or stupid in
Oh, if they're
ways.
Also evil, then, you know.
Or, you know, they could be savants. They're real good at running an Orwellian society, but they're real bad at everything else. So SCO finally actually said what they're suing IBM over, specifically.
What was it?
It's sealed and only the judge could read it.
So it's made up.
Yeah, but they actually filed it and they said this is it. They said there are 217 bits of code that they believe IBM or Sequence.
Wait, 217?
No, pieces.
Oh.
Not bits.
You can't say bits if you're talking about code.
I can say bits. We call all the bits on this show bits.
Are they lines? Are they functions? Are they whole files?
Areas. The specific word used in the brief is areas. All right. 217 areas where they think that IBM took their code and put it in open source code, and they're not claiming that it was a copyright infringement. They're only claiming that IBM violated the contract that they signed with SCO, except IBM didn't sign that contract with SCO. They signed that contract with was it AT&T? Or it was a long time ago, and SEO really had nothing to do with this anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it's still BS, and the whole thing is just crap, but SEO finally said what they claim IBM might have stolen.
I'm sure Groklaw has the whole story.
No, because it's sealed, and until either it's unsealed or the court case concludes, we can't read it.
It doesn't matter. They're not going anywhere. I can't believe this is still happening. I haven't heard news about it for months. I thought we
considering won't. That, I mean, I work for IBM. And most people inside of IBM have never even heard of SCO. That's how little IBM cares about this.
Yeah.
Though there was some funny news. This is kind of weird news. It's not really news. It's just a weird thing. There's this... And I saw it because it happened in Rochester where we used to go to school. There's this family, and they have their garage. And they moved into the house, and they found a negative, like, of old film, like 1920s, 1930s film, some pictures, laying on the floor in the middle of the garage. Whatever. Right. They thought that they were just, like, something the previous owner left behind. So they moved in, they threw the pictures away, whatever. See, this is kind of a ghost story to go with the fact that yesterday was Halloween.
Oh, great.
Don't worry, because everyone involved is smart, except that they're lacking one critical skill, which is problem solving. So a few weeks go by, and then they go out, and another negative is in the middle of their locked garage on the floor. That's weird. And then another one appears the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the lady, who the head of the household, thinks something's going on. And you'd think most people would be like, it's a ghost! She was like, there's got to be some film somewhere in this garage that's fallen from somewhere. So she's looking through all the rafters. She can't find anything. She cleans out the whole garage. Can't find anything. So she calls the police, like, hey, this is weird. So the police look, and they notice that there are chew marks, like squirrels or rats were chewing on the film.
So squirrels are stealing film from Kodak and putting it in their house?
The best guess anyone's come up with is that there is a stash somewhere of these film. It looks like pictures from the 1920s and 30s. Some of them are of this house and of the neighborhood. Somewhere in the neighborhood. And some squirrels or some rats must have gotten into it and are trying to use it for something or carrying it around, and they're carrying it through this garage in their path.
Why don't they grab a squirrel, put a tag on it, and...
Because the odds of getting the right squirrel, there's no way. Now, this is cool, and I really would like to know, like, what this is. Maybe there's some cool pictures that we'll get out of this. But it doesn't seem like anyone involved had the bright idea to, I don't know, put a camera in the garage and see where the film comes from, or put a motion sensor, or stand there until a rat runs by carrying some film.
I guess they just don't care that much.
Nah.
So the last thing I got here is in the Olympics. I don't know which Olympics. I think a winter or a summer. It must be a summer because it's weightlifting, I read. I didn't read all the details, but there's going to be one team, Korea.
Whoa!
Not North Korea, not South Korea, just Korea.
I guess that's a good thing.
I guess. I mean, are they putting on a show or?
I mean, I'm real pro South Korea. I'm real leery of North Korea. I'd like to see them unify in some sort of good way.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
At least, you know, I think...
As long as they don't unify like in 2009 Lost Memories.
I think the real thing is that they want to win something.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be good for national pride on both ends.
Yeah.
So my thing of the day is awesome.
All right.
It's not anything cool on the internet. It's just something that happened that I found deliciously ironic.
Mm-hmm.
So, Greenpeace.
Great.
Yeah. So, way back, they got their ship, the Rainbow Warrior. And the French Secret Service blew it up because Greenpeace is awesome. And the Secret Service decided they had to do something about them being awesome.
Great.
So they blew up their ship.
Awesome.
They have a second ship, the Rainbow Warrior 2, and they've been using it for a while, and they do stuff with it. And they were out in the ocean.
What ocean?
It doesn't matter. Okay. They were out in the ocean near some reefs, and they pulled the boat up to these reefs to do a protest about people damaging the reefs.
Mm-hmm. They damaged the reef.
And they screwed up, and they rammed into the reef and caused a whole bunch of damage to it.
Great.
And they got fined by the Mexican government $15,000, which they can't seem to pay.
They got plenty of money from people. What the hell?
Yeah. I don't know the whole deal. All I know is that they were, you know, saying they're going to protect this reef, and then they rammed their boat into it. They're ugly, rusting, leaky, environmentally unsound, giant boat full of dirty hippies.
It's because they're not actually... They're people who like liking.
Yeah, they're not environmentalists. Of course, environmentalists are rare nowadays because a lot of people are very... They say they're pro-environment, but they don't actually understand what any of that means. Like, they'll be anti-nuclear power. Oh, but then they're also anti-coal power. But then they're also anti-hydroelectric. And then, how the hell do you want some... Do you want any electricity? I don't know what they want.
They want Unipower.
But they don't really want that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they really want that.
They don't.
So, yeah, they're
they,
just...
They like want
to use a word from the vernacular, they're shit-talkers.
They're definitely shit-talkers. Oh, my thing of the day is so cool. This is website 20, the number 20, /goto-10.com.
Uh-huh.
This guy made a website, but his website looks like DOS. Like, there's no links or anything. It doesn't look like a normal website. It, like, comes up in a new window. It looks like a terminal, and there's a C colon in it, and you type commands to look at the different parts of his webpage.
That's kind of cool.
I thought it was very, very slick. I should make one that's Linux-y.
Make one that's just make one that's a full Linux shell and hidden around it or things.
Well, actually, this website you can go to where it actually gives you a Linux desktop in your browser.
Yeah, you actually showed that to me.
Yeah.
We should probably pull up.
Actually,
the link.
I heard there's another company now where they'll give you a Linux desktop with storage space, and you get an account. So basically, it's like you're buying a computer. You get a free computer, and you can access it from any computer.
It's kind of handy.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
You just keep things on the desktop there, and then you go to another computer, and oh, there it is.
Ah.
Yeah. If only it had a static IP or whatever, you could really do stuff.
Yep.
All right.
So we talked a long time about things that aren't video games.
With how much time?
25 minutes.
That's good. We can talk about video games for 20 minutes.
Yeah, we were always shooting for, you know, 10 minutes of news and then getting right to the bit. But it'll be a short bit, which 40, is fine.
40 minutes is about the time total we were shooting for.
Because I've only been playing one game, and that's Castlevania DS, which I beat.
Hooray.
And then I realized that there are multiple endings. And it's not like the old Castlevania games where there's the bad ending where it's in black and white, and then the good ending where it's in color, and then the really good ending where like it's in color and then a hand appears at the end.
Yeah, it's the best ending.
So to not spoil the game, there is a point at which you can kill a dude, and if you kill this dude, the game ends. And it's the lamest ending to a video game that there has ever been. Like, I felt less satisfaction from that ending than I felt from the ending of Mario 1. Congratulations, you win! And then you start over. Less than that.
Wow.
Nothing. It was horrid. And it was about 10 seconds long.
Awesome.
And then there were some credits that I just turned the game off.
Wow.
Then I discovered that you have to do some read game facts to figure out how to do a thing, or be perceptive and you'll figure it out. And then there's a whole nother game, and the game keeps going for a long time, and there's more stuff to do, and then you get real endings.
That's just evil.
Yeah.
Because I would have stopped playing at the first ending and just been pissed.
I would have, except that if you're smart, you'll get the first ending, and then you'll realize, wait a minute, what was that thing? I wonder if I could have done a thing to it.
Mm.
The only reason it's a game facts thing is because if you don't have the thing to do the thing, and you don't know where to get the thing that'll let you do the thing, you'll think, there's a thing, I can do something to it, and you won't know how, and you won't be able to do it.
I hate games like that.
Yeah, that was probably
I wonder if the Game Boy ones were like that also.
Well, they all have the same main character, and they're basically the same plot thread, apparently.
Mm.
And they're apparently rare and hard to find, relatively.
What? I know people have them.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people have them. They're not super rare, but they didn't print, or they didn't make so many of the Game Boy Castlevania cartridges.
The first one I know is common. I don't know about the second one, though.
Like, they're not rare, but you won't find them for less than $20, even
now. Oh, okay, yeah.
20, they're, 25, they're not... $30. And a lot
That's
of places
just because it's
have
a
them.
Good game. You can't even get, like, Mario Kart Game Boy Advance for cheap.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's a good game. Only the bad games are cheap.
So how's Phoenix Wright coming?
I beat Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, is it good?
It was excellent. It's like Carmen Sandiego, but better, awesomer. Apparently, there are 3 Game Boy Advance games of Phoenix Wright in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And this game for the DS is actually just a copy of the first GBA game. And you can tell because the first 4 episodes don't really involve the DS at all.
Uh-huh.
And then the 5th extra episode is a special DS episode, and it's, you know, it's got different characters and everything.
Ooh. So I imagine that we'll get more of these games.
The 5th episode is also the longest, and I would say possibly, in terms of plot, I don't think it's the best episode. I think the 4th one would be the best in terms of plot.
Uh-huh.
And the 3rd would be the funniest. But the 5th one was definitely the highest quality game. It get a lot of parts. I just didn't know what to do. I was stumped. I had to try crazy things. And there's a lot more evidence, tons of evidence, a lot more investigating, interacting with the evidence. You know, the evidence was like 3D. You could rotate it and stuff. And it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. But the ending is also kind of bleh. And there's at the end of episode 4, after you beat it, because it's like the game, they don't need a big ending because, you know, the game itself, the plot of itself, it stands good. You know, you don't need a big thing after the plot is over to do stuff. But at the end of episode 4, someone says, you know, show the evidence that something, something, you know, and you have to pick you only get one chance. And I picked the wrong one. In episode 5, they do it again, but it's different, and I picked the wrong one.
Ah.
But apparently that only gets you, like, an extra sentence of content.
A whole sentence?
Yeah. Or 2 sentences. It only gets you a tiny bit of content if you pick right.
See, that's where Castlevania goes. If you pick right, you get a 20% bonus game. It just keeps going, and there's more stuff and more bosses.
Yeah, this, if you pick right, it just changes the ending a tiny bit.
Ah.
And I'd say the ending after episode 4 was a lot better than the ending of episode 5.
Still a good game?
Very good game. Everyone should get it. I'm probably going to get all of them if they come out with more.
Once I finish Castlevania and kill Dracula again, I'll trade up with you.
Yep. Trauma Center, I actually I beat that hard mission.
You haven't beat the game, though, have you?
Nope. And then there was a harder mission, and then a harder mission, and a harder mission. I just brute-forced my way, but I'm not on a mission. Again, that's too hard.
Uh-huh.
I can't play it on the train because it shakes. Someone should have thought of that when they made the DS. You can't play it on anything. You can't play it in a car. If you need precision for a game like Trauma Center with the stylus, can't play it in a car, can't play it in a train, maybe a plane with no turbulence, but if it shakes, you can't play.
Huh? I don't think they were thinking specifically of your commute when they made that game.
But I mean, there's a picture on the Nintendo DS website of a kid in the subway playing.
Yeah, because you can play every other game that way.
Yeah, you can play a lot of games that way.
You just can't play...
You can play Phoenix Wright easily.
Yeah?
Just not Trauma Center.
So we picked up Siphon Filter and Gran Turismo 2 for our modded PS1 that until now
Don't tell them it's modded.
Fine, it's Japanese.
There you go. But we can play English games on it.
Huh, I wonder why. It has only ever played Dance Dance Revolution.
So when we went to the GameStop and we saw that PS1 games were like $2, we figured, might as well play those games you never played, right?
Yep. And I learned that, well, I guess I remembered that the PlayStation 1's graphics are kind of crappy.
If you play it with an emulator, it improves the graphics.
But we're not. We're playing it with
the
PS1.
I don't remember. If you play a PS1 game and a PS2, does it improve the graphics?
I don't think so.
I heard maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Maybe that's one of those things that Sony lied about and then changed up. You know,
yeah, I never
on.
Heard anything about it, so.
Yeah. So, Siphon Filter, actually, I play the game, and I can tell it's a good game, but it makes you really realize how far games have come.
Yeah.
The control of the game is painful. Like, to switch weapons, you hold select, and you do LR and L2.
Ah.
Or you can just push select to cycle through.
See, that's the one thing I really like about the GameCube, is that it's so much more intuitive, that kind of control. I mean, all PlayStation games, because there's so many buttons, and they're not A, B, X, Y, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're shape, 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 shape.
I guess if you get used to the shape, 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 shape.
Yeah, but it's also hard that Japanese games and English games reverse the function of X and O.
I think in Gran Turismo 2, X and O do the same thing, and square is go back.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. There's no consistency. In every Nintendo game ever, A is select and B is go back.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Plus, I learned that I can't play driving games without a wheel.
You just suck. I played it just fine.
Because I don't like driving games without the wheel. It's not a driving game anymore. It's a manipulate the analog stick precisely game.
Yeah, what do you think? With the wheel, it's the same thing, only instead of a stick, you've got a wheel.
Yeah, which makes it driving.
No, one of those bugs you said only shows up in my room is in your room.
Yeah, there's more of them in your room, total.
Yeah, well, there haven't been any in my room for weeks, so...
I'll put it in your room, then. That'll even things out.
That's no good. That's definitely not good.
Yeah.
So, what other games?
So, you haven't been playing so many games. We're busy doing, you know... life.
I'm playing plenty of games, just playing the same games a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing because I actually, it's my secret shame, I never played Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
So I'm playing through it now, but I haven't played it in like 2 weeks because I've been busy.
Yeah, I'm playing Resident Evil 1, but I haven't played that in a while because the DS games kind of got me. And as soon as Mario Kart comes out, every other game is just going to be like, play me, play me, play me. Sorry, Mario Kart is here. I played my GBA Mario Kart to rebuild my skills. I still got it.
I imagine the game will be different enough to where your skills won't carry over so much.
I played it. I played Mario Kart DS at the Digital Life show.
Yeah.
And my skills carry over quite well. You're all in trouble.
We'll see.
We'll see. The one thing I don't know is that in Mario Kart Game Boy, Super Circuit, if your racing is perfect... items can't bother you. Even the spike shell will just go right behind you, and if you don't slow down, you stay at top speed, the spike shell will not get you. I don't know if that's the case in Mario Kart DS. The spike shell might get you no matter what, because that's the way it is. That's in N64 and Double Dash, the items and luck matter a lot more than pure racing.
Honestly, I didn't like Double Dash.
I didn't like it so much.
Like, the two-player dash, I mean, I'm not one to call things Nintendo does gimmicky, because I like most of the things they do. But the two guys in one car thing was real gimmicky, because it always ended up just being the one guy who's good drives, and the friend who's not so good at the game just sits there with the items, and goes, LR, 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 LR.
Well, the thing is that you were supposed to, it was up to the other person to give you this boost by shifting the weight.
Yeah, but that was, nah, that was pretty much just brain dead, and if you couldn't, it was such a basic thing to do properly. That
You could play the game where you just controlled, you know, everything, but then switching the drivers was kind of...
Yeah.
I do like the not having, you can actually change carts, like there's different carts, and the DS one has that, where you pick a person, you pick a cart.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Or at least that's what it looked like to me. Can't, you know, but yeah, that's good, because then I'll pick Luigi, and I'll pick the standard Luigi cart, and I'll rock everybody.
Of course, no game has ever really surpassed that wonderful level of ice hockey for the original NES.
I will ace smash, and if I ace smash enough, you will be put in the penalty box, and not me.
That game is probably one of my favorite multiplayer games ever.
Dude, they need to make an online version of ice hockey.
We could make it.
We could, actually. I guess if you use emulators, they play over on the internet, but...
kind of piss poorly.
That's because what they do is, instead of having like a ROM and synchronizing it, what they do is they just send the controls that you push over the network.
Yep, and you each run your own local copy of the ROM, so if anything gets out of whack, the whole thing is just crazy and broken and you're done.
Yep. And they don't use the TCP/IP, and they don't, you know, set the timings perfectly.
Yep. And normally when we talk about a game that we play multiplayer, both of us will contend that we're the best ever, or there'll be some sort of argument. But at ice hockey, we've pretty much fought each other to a dead stalemate.
I'm the best ever. I haven't lost in a long time.
We haven't played in a long time, and I won the last time we played.
You didn't win the last time.
I most definitely...
No, you didn't. Not at all.
I'll pull some witnesses. The next time we play, we'll have to have some certified witnesses sitting there.
You're going to have to start keeping score and like a website?
I mean, yeah, we should. Plus, you can't deny... air hockey at the shore.
Hey, air hockey, I pooned.
Do I need to remind you how many games I won and how many games you won during the week at Wildwood?
Hey, I won, and then you waited until I was tired from eating
what?
Funnel cake.
What?
And then you
what?
Wanted
what?
To play some more.
And then we played the
and then whenever
day?
I wanted to play because I was ready to win, you were like, no. And then you played later when
That's
you were ready
absolute,
to win.
Not only is that not true.
That's true.
I got witnesses.
Yeah.
I got Greg, or not Greg, God, I haven't even, Greg's dead as far as I'm concerned. I got Pete.
He had a sign that said he wasn't dead.
Yeah, but I haven't seen him or talked to him, and I've messaged him a couple times, and he never answers me.
Mm. Maybe he's pretending to be dead, like a possum.
But I got Pete, I got Katsu, I got some Alex, I got some Scott Johnson. You can't deny Scott Johnson's witnessing ability.
I can deny that if I bribe him, he'll change his mind.
See, he wouldn't take a bribe for something like that.
Yeah, he would.
No, not for something like that, because he'd say, first he'd take the bribe. Then, when someone asked him, he'd say, yeah, Scott totally bribed me to say that he was the best, so yeah, Scott was
the best.
But then
why would he lie and say you win at air hockey unless you bribed him?
Because I do win at air hockey.
Or you just bribe Scott Johnson to say so, and then say something like that, and then...
You can't bribe Scott Johnson. He's like a rock.
That's what someone who bribes him says.
All right, what about Pete and Alex? And Dawn.
Dawn wasn't even paying attention, as far as I know.
No, Dawn was there.
I don't think she was noticing our air hockey scores. Only I was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think we're done.
Yeah. So, we were thinking of adding a bit to the show.
Oh, where we tell a story?
Where we tell a story. Because we realized that... in all the years in college, we told a lot of funny stories, and all of us had a bunch of good stories, and some of them were uproariously hilarious. But we could only ever tell them once, unless we were...
made new friends.
Yeah, and whenever a new friend joined the group...
We told all the stories...
We'd tell all the stories again.
Immediately.
And now we got a whole bunch of new friends, or at least people.
People, podcast listeners.
Yeah, so we're thinking we might start telling some stories.
You should tell my... Well, how much minutes did we go so far?
It's been 40 minutes, so if we tell a story, it'll be a quick one. And you already told your diarrhea story.
Does that count?
That was
so
a story.
Recent.
You used up all of our leader time to tell us about how you had diarrhea this morning. I'm sure everyone's going to love that.
Hey, it could be a worse story, Mr. 30 Bargles.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's our story then, since this is the...
you can tell the story tomorrow.
You got a story, so I'll get a story. This will be our daily sig. It'll be a long sig. It'll be a story. Unless you have a better sig.
No, we're good.
So, got some food poisoning. And I'm not really sure what it was that gave me the food poisoning, but something gave me the food poisoning. And I believe you were awakened to the sound of me vomiting 30 times in one night.
Definitely vomiting very loud, definitely keeping me awake.
It was awesome. I'd vomit, and then I'd lay in my bed. And then I'd wake up, and then I'd vomit, and then I'd diarrhea, and then I'd lay in my bed. And then I'd wake up, then I'd vomit and diarrhea and lay in my bed.
Now, I wasn't the one vomiting, but I was very unhappy from waking up so many times and hearing the bargling.
And your bedroom is fairly far away from the bathroom.
It was very far away. You were bargling very loud.
It was very loud. Because after a while, there was nothing left to bargle.
The only good thing that came out of this for me was knowing that Rim was in pain of bargling.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when I give you some more Yankee Clipper lasagna.
You know what? The Yankee Clipper is great, but I'm not eating lasagna there anymore.
Yeah, because I had diarrhea the last time I ate their lasagna.
In fact, why don't we just go to the Yankee Clipper for breakfast only and go to the 84 for dinner?
That sounds like a plan.
Because they have those nice potato skins.
Yeah, but honestly, I do like the Yankee Clipper's breakfast better.
I do like they have the banana waffle.
The only thing they don't have is my favorite meal, the Belgian waffle with every kind of breakfast meat.
That might make you bargle.
I've eaten it almost every time I've gone.
How many times did you bargle that night?
Oh, it was like 19 or 20. It wasn't actually 30, but it was like 19 or 20.
Awesome.
It was the second worst I've ever been sick to my stomach.
And we could tell the first worst tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll tell that story another day.
All right.
And that was Geek Night with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the music, and promotional consideration was provided by no one.